Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. Want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
I mean, how does a tiger get in the bathroom? He almost killed me.
Hey, bro, you mind putting on some pants? I find it a little weird. I have to ask twice.
Pants at a time like this, I don't have any.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
Hey, is it a little too early for being that loud? Hey, too late. It's 0600. What's the O stand for? Oh, my God, it's early.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Okay, I'm going to get on that. Just give me a minute.
Joyce is very upset.
Flo, we've discussed this. Mornings are for coffee and contemplation.
Coffee and contemplation.
The Fan.
When I wake up in All right, welcome back in. Hour number two. Dirt and Sprague with you. Sprague and Dirt.
Hello.
Welcome back in the Odyssey app and Portland sports leader 1080 The Fan. The Denver Nuggets, since Jamal Murray got injured, are 13-5.
Pretty good record.
Yeah, not bad. Especially considering yesterday they didn't care about the game. So yeah, 13-4 going into it.
Right, that's one of your losses.
Some pretty convincing wins for them, as that's Portland's first round matchup. And I think you highlighted a good point there at the end of the first hour. By the way, Howard Beck will join us at 7:30. We'll get his thoughts on this matchup. We got a poll question up on the show page at Dirt and Sprague. Nuggets in 4 or 5, Nuggets in 6 or 7, or Blazers in 4 or 5, or Blazers in 6 or 7. And not that I'm surprised the Blazers are winning a poll question in Portland, but it's more just the overall confidence and excitement you've seen, I think, from the fan base about getting the Nuggets versus potentially having the Clippers. I was mentally ready for the Clippers, by the way.
You were prepared.
I was like, bring it on. Like, are they going to beat him? Maybe not. Bad matchup.
Probably not.
But I wanted Dame to eviscerate Patrick Beverley and somehow take that series to 7 just to make people like Alex Crawford think, oh, God, my team's still not good.
The storylines out of that one would have been very entertaining, to say the least.
But we've got a repeat of the 2019 Western Conference semifinals.
That we do. This is how rivalries get created, man. Similar groups of players playing each other multiple times in the playoffs, and the last series was pretty contentious.
I already kind of don't like the Nuggets team. Yeah. Jokic bothers me when they play. He, you know, complains and bitches and moans all the time. Now they got this Campazzo guy who's, you know, this late arriving Euro vet. Can't stand him. He does all those like European things, elbowing people in the ribs and diving at people's legs to get a loose ball. Like, he does all kinds of those kinds of things. So I'm already in on the rivalry. And I said this to in hour one. I think you asked a fair question. I think Nurkic is the key to this. He has not had a good playoff yet. He's had some moments, but largely it's been nothing but not available, coming back from injury too late, or just straight up not playing very well. This is your moment. There are a lot of people in this city that are convinced themselves that Yusuf Nurkic is this or that. Well, if he is, this is the year he show it. If he's not, I think you have your answer. But you asked a very good question. They ended 10-2 in their last 12.
They're playing great. One of those losses is a game that they should have won in Phoenix, which, by the way, if you wanted Denver, ended up being a great thing, because if they would have beaten Phoenix, they would have been playing the Clippers in the first round.
Right.
They would have finished ahead of Dallas in the 5 seed.
So you get Denver, you get the matchup you wanted, but and they play good basketball to end the year. Dame turned the season around for himself because he went into a slump. Melo's got it off the bench. Cantor gives you something. Anthony can catch and shoot. Like, everybody on this team has started to contribute and then knows their role. This is it, man. And it's funny because the Stotts detractors were out in full force, and now they've been quieted for 12 games, but you know they're laying in the weeds going, oh, if you lose, Terry.
He had a quote after the game about that last night, too. He said, the negative thoughts were pretty loud at times this season, but we persevered or something like that.
Which is odd because, like, if you're going to bash a guy, give him credit when it goes well. Sure. And there's largely not that happening. So
yeah, it can be a two-way street.
This organization just in general, like, there feels like there's so many things on the line for them.
It's huge.
And maybe there's not. Maybe it's as simple as we try to sign Norman, we change coaches, that's it. But this is a big series for them. This is the matchup you preferred of all the teams you'd get. You've got all your guys healthy now. The numbers are indisputable. You are a substantially better team with this starting lineup. I don't know. I might be drinking the Kool-Aid, but I love the matchup. I think they can win it. And you're so right. This is huge for this organization.
We're finally going to get the answers that we've wanted. At least I hope. Now, as you mentioned, there's no guarantee whether you go on a run or whether you lose the series in five games. You know, if you lose the series in five games, there's no guarantee that you're going to make drastic changes. I would argue you should, because if you can't beat Denver without their second best player in the first round, when you're easily playing your best basketball of the season and you're fully healthy outside of a guy who hasn't played all year in Zach Collins, everybody else is available.
Nobody's right? counting that
right?
injury.
That's not even counting, right? So you're healthy. You're ready to go. You get a week off. If you can't win this series and then you go to the conclusion in the offseason that we don't need wholesale changes, I think you're going to piss off a large chunk of the fan base. Now, they, again, have the chance to prove a lot of people wrong and go on a deep run. And to the question of, like, are you buying them or not, I think there's almost two layers to it. I am buying them against Denver because I like the matchup. A lot of it is going to depend on the player that you're bringing up in Nurkic. You're not going to be a roadblock to Nurkic, or excuse me, to Jokic, but can you be a speed bump, right? Can you just hold him down somewhat from his 30 points, 10 rebounds, and 10 assists, or is he just going to go off night in and night out? Can you score on him on the other end? Can you get him into foul trouble? Nurkic is easily going to be the key to this series. But I still like the matchup, and I'm buying them in this series. The next layer to that, though, is have they done enough to make you buy them further than that? Because I don't think a first-round playoff series is enough to whet the appetite for Blazer fans. If you beat Denver in the first round in six games, and then you go play whoever, you know, Utah, Phoenix, whoever it is in the second round.
Ooh, you're going to feel maybe a little more confident.
No, you're going to feel, sure. But if you lose that series in five or six games, to me, that's still, you're facing the same decisions in the offseason that you would have been if you lose to Denver in the first round. That, to me, is still not enough. I think there's a lot of fans that want to see a conference finals run, and they've shown you in the last week, they just took Phoenix down on the wire the other night, a healthy Phoenix team, right? You had a great shot at beating them. That could be your second round matchup. I know you got to beat Denver first, but
right.
They also just went into Utah. A team is playing with a couple of banged up guards, and we'll see how they look in their first round series. You just beat them in Utah. So, like, you have the chance. Like, you have the ability to do it, and you've built that confidence over the last couple of weeks. Now it's just a question of, can you actually put it together?
Boy, you know, way ahead of ourselves here, getting even past Denver, right? My confidence in them beating Denver, while individually it might be a little higher than some others, you're still talking about going against the league MVP, right? Jokic is one of the more transcendent players I think this league has seen. He's weirdly slow, looks unathletic, and yet is out there getting you Russell Westbrook triple doubles, right? I saw a funny tweet that basically said, Nikola Jokic is the Kirkland signature Russell Westbrook. And it's so right. He gives you a triple double, but it's in such a different way. But you're like, you know what? I'll take that triple double. We're going against the league MVP. Answer me this. It might be Russell Westbrook, but the last MVP that people didn't feel confident was going to get out of round one, it's probably Westbrook,
that
right?
It has to be Westbrook.
But that was a six-seeded Thunder team. This is a three-seeded Nugget team.
Yeah.
So even without Murray, I still think there is a level of be careful of just assuming it's going to be the Blazers winning this one. I think this is going to go six or seven games. It almost always is a great game when these two teams are going full tilt. That being said, getting ahead of ourselves here, it's no guarantee they're getting Phoenix or Utah because we don't know what's happening with Golden State and LA.
We don't.
And if LA takes on Phoenix, everybody is picking Lakers to win that series. So the whole second round thing, I'm not ready to go there yet. I think if they get out of round one, they have met my expectation for the season. No matter what happens, if it's Phoenix or the Lakers, you obviously think you're going to have a better chance against one of those two teams, right? But like, the expectation to me is, what are you doing healthy in round one? And round one is a team that's missing their second best player. Now, Porter Jr. is coming. He is a rising star in this league that has played so damn well and so and been so impressive since Murray went out. As I mentioned, they're 13-5 since his injury. Really 13-4 because yesterday they didn't care about that game. But man, they're missing their second best player. This lined up perfectly for you. This really did. Can you win it? I don't know. A lot is going to hinge on what CJ gives you. I mentioned Nurkic, I think, is the key to this series. As what you just labeled a speed bump to Jokic. Mm-hmm. Roko and what he's been doing. And by the way, Melo. Revenge series for Melo. Go out there and continue to be what you've been and be the productive scorer off the bench. And if you get that Melo, Portland has had, they have a hell of a shot to pull this first round series up. And you couldn't have asked for more, I think, if you're Neil Olshey, Terry Stotts, or Damian Lillard.
I love that we have back-to-back text. Somebody says, as a Blazer fan, haven't we learned that every time we want a certain team, we get our asses kicked? And then the next one said, is the Denver series the same as the Pelican series? Everybody wanted New Orleans, yep. And we ended up getting swept. And both of those are correct.
There's a big be careful what you wish for vibe. I will not totally refute that, no doubt.
And the team that we didn't want them to play in the first round was Oklahoma City, and that was a series that they won in 5 games against Paul George, Russell Westbrook, and Dame hit the walk-off shot.
Dirt, they still have 6'10" athletic wing player Michael Porter Jr. He showed you nothing yesterday. And they also still have 6'9" athletic wing player you wanted, Aaron Gordon.
You find out the value of Aaron Gordon in this series, for sure.
And oh, by the way, don't forget, Will the Thrill Barton might be coming back from his hamstring injury and playing in this series. We don't know yet, but it seems like he's leaning towards being able to come back. And if he does... 6'5", super athletic wing player, sure. Will Barton. There's 3 wings, and that's kind of your kryptonite. You don't have an answer for them defensively. Roko can only do so much. We know CJ ain't stopping anybody. You don't trust Melo. Like, they have a path here to beat Portland. I don't want to act like you're not giving any respect to Denver.
No.
But I think it's going to be a hell of a series.
I would add to that, though, at least, that they don't have an answer defensively for Dame, CJ, and Powell. With Jamal Murray out, they traded Gary Harris, who's a good defending guard. So, yeah, Aaron Gordon's a great defender, but he can't guard all 3 of them. Michael Porter Jr. falls asleep on the defensive end of the floor despite his size. He should be a much better defender. So that's the advantage that Portland is going to have in this series is those 3 guys. And how does Denver try and come up? Campazzo's not going to shut down Dame or CJ. It just ain't going to happen. I think the confidence from Blazer fans is twofold in this series. One, it is the matchup that we wanted, which, as we're highlighting, isn't always a good thing. But it's a team without their second best player. And it's a team that you feel good about. Even when you played them a while back and you lost, it was a close back and forth game. You had a great shot at winning before you could have fans in the Moda. The other part of it, though, is this team is playing as good as any Blazer team that I can remember going into the postseason. They seem to be clicking. They seem to understand their roles. We've highlighted the defensive numbers with Nurkic and Norman Powell in the lineup together. They're a top half defensive team when those 2 guys are playing and playing consistently. CJ's got it going again, finally. And don't overlook the fact that Damian Lillard just ended the season on the longest 30-point streak since Kobe did in 2006. I think he was at 10 or 11 straight 30-point games to close out the season. And the big fear that we've always had with Dame in the playoffs is the fact that he runs out of gas, it feels like, at times, because he has to carry the damn team all year. And especially in a year like this, where he had to carry him when CJ and Nurkic were out for 2 months, and then he clearly hit that wall after those guys came back and played a bad stretch that coincided with their losing streak. He finished strong. The team finished strong. Now he gets a week off. Mm-hmm. Like, it seems like all of these things are coming together that I can, the Blazers I've had some optimism going to the postseason before, but they seem to be clicking. They seem to be playing their best basketball of the year at the right time. And now you get a week to go refresh your legs, recharge. And I know Denver's going to have the same week off.
Yeah.
But there just seems to be a lot of confidence, not just in the matchup. It's not just like, hey, Denver's not good. It's, hey, the Blazers are playing really good basketball on the other side. When those 2 things go together, that's why you get 80% of our audience that thinks they're going to win the series.
Well, and I would also throw into that argument, it's great to have the rest. Dame and CJ were asked about that before the Denver game. Hey, do you think about playoff positioning, right? Because some people... I believe you were one of them saying, hey, sure. Do you go for the play-in? I never want to play in the play-in tournament. I think it's awful anytime you have to face Steph Curry for 1 game. No, thank you. Or even LeBron. That being said, as much as the rest might be great for those guys, I think it benefits the other team more than it does Portland. They want Will Barton back. They need as much athletic, big firepower as they can get. That is the counterpunch to the Dame, CJ, Norm, Powell lineup that you get. It's, we're going to go bigger than you. We're going to go more athletic than you. We're going to crash the boards. By the way, we've got an old savvy vet in Paul Millsap coming off the off the bench.
Yeah.
And they have the league MVP. And that's the other thing I want to talk about is the amount of times we get expectations in this city and how it ends up breaking up. So we'll get to that. And then we got Howard Beck coming up at the bottom of the hour as the Trailblazers have their playoff matchup against Denver. We'll get to that next on The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Shout out the Portland Trailblazers. There's an old man. Keeping to the side on this show, UFO talk. More UFOs were seen.
Oh, we had UFO sightings, huh?
I didn't see this either. My brother told me.
Oh, okay.
He was in San Diego in 2019.
Oh, yikes.
Some UFO was above the water by a naval ship, and then it just submerged into the water.
Can you imagine the panic that's going to set in? We don't handle things very well as a population. Hence
see
the,
January 6th.
And the hoarding of toilet paper last year and people putting gas and garbage bags in their car. Like, we don't handle panic very well. And
no, we don't.
If you get some UFOs over the sky, yeah, it's not going to go well.
Beam me up, Scotty. Just don't probe me. Let's be friends.
Golf courses could be wide open, though. Could be a benefit. As long as the aliens aren't invading and murdering all of us, dude, people might be too scared to go out and golf.
You're totally going to be the guy on the tee box when the world's being destroyed, just hitting it straight 250 yards. If I'm going out, I'm going out in a blaze of glory.
That's right. Hey, I'm one under through seven. I'm not leaving the course right now.
There's the instant reaction of be careful what you wish for, because I can understand that if you listen to the show, you think that... I'm 100% guarantee level right now. They're winning round one. It's not, but I do love the matchup. And your whole thing of because they've been playing the way they've been playing, I'm still battling this internally, right? Like I can't argue what the numbers say. I like the matchup with Denver just on paper and what Portland can potentially do here. Now, I don't have a lot of faith defensively. They're going to shut Denver down. It's more it's going to be similar to what we saw last night, just with effort, 130 to 120 or whatever.
Right.
But be careful what you wish for. And you highlighted here, you like what they've done. I still go mentally of how much do you put in what they've done versus who they played and when they played them. And I think that's a totally fair thing to talk about. Like, they took a lot of teams on when those teams were missing their best player, second best player, in some cases, third best player. How much stock do you put into a 10-2 end? Well, I'll say quickly, one, I mean, there is a pushback for me mentally, but two, they needed to win those games and they won the games.
Yeah.
So they took care of their business.
They did. And the tough part with that is that I understand the complaint, and I think it largely stems from the losing streak that they were on prior to this late season run. Like, when they lost, whatever it was, 9 out of 11, 5 in a row to end April. Like, it wasn't looking, or to be start April, whatever it was. It wasn't pretty, and it looked like they were heading towards the side of a mountain. And so then when you get wins after that, and a few of them come against teams that are shorthanded, that's going to be the immediate finger point of, see, well, you're winning games, but that's fine. That team didn't have X, Y, and Z player. The counter-argument I would have to that, too, is how critical were we as fans early in the year when they were losing games like this and they didn't have CJ and Nurkic? Like, they were losing games early on, and
they didn't have two of their three best players,
or at least the two of the three guys you would consider their three best players. And then when they got them back and they finally had kind of a lineup and they added Norman Powell, Look, maybe we overreacted at times. I think this is my hindsight view of it. Mm-hmm. But I think maybe we overreacted for two reasons. One, the trade of Norman Powell, you're not practicing a ton this year, and it does take time to kind of figure out your role in an offense, especially when you're playing in a three-guard offense, and he was used to getting a lot of looks and a lot of touches in Toronto. So what are the rotations defensively? Where do they want me offensively? What's the best spot that I could fit in with how these guys do? Like, we needed to give, I think, a little more grace period there. And then the biggest change at the end of the year has been what you've gotten, obviously, from Nurkic, and it just took him some time to find his footing. He's had a very up-and-down year from starting the year out of shape, and we totally understand why, and then he gets hurt a week in, and then he gets hurt again while he's hurt, and then he comes back, and he clearly didn't play good basketball for the first couple of weeks after returning from injury. I think a lot of us just expected him to come back out and be the old 15-12 Nurkic that we had seen in the past. And he wasn't that. And that led a lot of folks, myself included, to just say, I'm done with it. Like, it's time to move on. You got to find a consistent, reliable center. And he has completely turned his season on ahead. So I think there's a little hindsight in my regard of maybe we should have been, not that all the losses were acceptable, not that getting your ass kicked in every game against a good team was you know, hey, way to go, guys, good effort tonight. Mm-hmm. But they clearly, as they've gelled and gotten better playing together, they've been a different team late. And I'm not going to fault them for winning games against teams that didn't have teams that, you know, 100% of their players, because Portland was that team earlier this year.
Well, one of those games that they had lost in the midst of their kind of streak they were going through, because you remember it ended after when they got to the road trip. When he got to that East Coast road trip,
that's when it started.
You know, Indiana, Memphis, Brooklyn, Boston, Atlanta, Cleveland. When you got to that road trip, it's when they flipped the switch. Lillard was in the middle of his slump. They had just lost two in a row back to back against the baby Grizz.
Mm-hmm.
But one game you kind of forget about there. And one reason people still maybe question and trust them is they didn't overall through the season really beat the teams the teams that mattered. You didn't win those games. A lot of those came down to the wire.
Right.
One of those games was Denver without Murray. And that's why I don't look at yesterday in any way and have this opinion. I just look at the matchup on paper and what they've been doing as of late. But go back to that game on April 21st.
106-105.
It was a great basketball game. Aaron Gordon played like dog ass, but also Damian Lillard didn't play great. He had 22 points.
9 of 23 from the floor. That was in the midst of his cold streak.
That was when he was not able to hit buckets and when they were just dropping games. They had lost, seven of eight in that stretch.
Yeah.
And their lone win was against the Spurs by one, and that was the game without Dame that they somehow came back from 16. So they really could have lost eight in a row there, and Denver is involved in that stretch. And so now it's just a question of which Blazer team are you getting? Because yesterday I saw a bunch of people on Twitter. This is the best team Dame's had in the Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum era. And
right.
I think it's hard to argue that talent-wise. There have been other teams that have had success in the postseason, see the Western Conference run, and you'll get your chance to prove it. But you go back to that matchup against April 21st, that was a Murray-less Nugget team. And Jokic was good. Wasn't amazing. Gordon wasn't great. Porter gave you 17, Barton played, and they still beat you.
Yeah.
So we'll see, we'll get a better idea in a week off. I also don't know how that's going to impact either team. Is that going to help Denver? I think it could. But how about Portland? They've been wanting rest. They didn't want to play in the play-in tournament by any stretch. They wanted rest. Is a week off for a hot team a good or bad thing?
Yeah, I think it's a great thing. I mean, you can point to the positives for both, right? Dame usually runs out of gas, so him getting a week off, I think, is just a sight for sore eyes for Blazer fans. As you mentioned, Denver's going to love it, too, because it's not like took nights off all season. They played 72 games as well, and they're trying to get Will Barton healthy. So it's going to be beneficial for both teams, and it's one part of the playing situation that I absolutely love. I love that there's a reward for, they're not saying, hey, you got to finish the number one seed in the conference to get a bye or top three or home court advantage. You space it out all the way down to six. You give these teams a week off. That is a huge thing to play for some of these teams. And now you got to have, if you're the Lakers, you're banged up, you got to go play again on Wednesday. And if you lose that game, you got to go play again on Friday. Like, that is a huge benefit for teams to fight for come postseason time. If you're in that 5, 6, 7, 8 range to try and get a week off. And now time will tell. And we're going to get answers. That's the most exciting part about this. This is the basketball that matters. Nothing they did in the regular season matters this year. Now we find out, are they for real or are they not? And we'll have an answer here in the next couple of weeks.
Well, let's talk about this matchup and the other playoff matchups with Howard Beck of Sports Illustrated, national NBA reporter. He'll join us for the Daily Ticker, and we'll talk to him about the Blazers matchup against the Nugs next.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
This is the Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague visit the insiders that are covering the stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, Daily Ticker time on a Monday. Let's talk some NBA playoffs. We focus on the Blazers, but there's a lot going on, including the play-in tournaments, which begin tomorrow. Joining us now, Howard Beck, senior writer for Sports Illustrated, co-host of the Crossover Podcast at Howard Beck on Twitter. Howard, thanks as always for the time, man. We're psyched for the NBA playoffs to get going. I'll just start with the idea of the play-in and, one, your take on what it did for the regular season, and did that change at all with kind of what you saw from some teams like weirdly tanking? I know they weren't necessarily involved in the play-in, but just the play-in, how it affected the end of the regular season and your thoughts on those matchups this week.
Well, the play-in is already a success. We haven't seen a single play-in game yet. We will soon, tomorrow. But it's already a success as a new wrinkle in the NBA schedule, because for the last month, we had a bunch of teams competing and really trying to win games that in a previous year would have pulled the plug. Because if you were 11th or 12th and had a shot to still get to 10th, you were trying to get to 10th. Right. And if you were in the 9-10 range and thought you could still get to 8 and get, you know, double elimination benefits instead of single elimination for the play-in, then you were trying to get to that 7-8 range. And if you were in 7-8, you were trying to get to 6 to avoid the play-in, and on and on. And teams that were, you know, in the top, you know, 5-6 range were trying to avoid slipping down to 7-8. So nobody could just pull their foot off the gas. Nobody could just rest their veterans, play the kids, whether it was because you already had positioning locked up or playoff position or a playoff berth locked up, whether it was because you were a team that was going to go to the lottery anyway, and so you figured, let's just let go of the rope. There were way more teams involved up until the last few weeks than we have maybe ever had. And then there are stats to back that up, in fact. So that's a success. Having teams try down the stretch of a season instead of pulling the plug and having mass tanking is a plus. There were still some teams tanking, the teams that were way out of it, but you can't solve everything.
Right.
Having competitive teams down the stretch and more fan bases engaged is good. And then the second payoff will be the tournament itself, because it's going to be really exciting. The stakes are high. The 7 and 8 teams play each other, and the loser has to play the winner of 9-10. So you slip up once, okay, you still have a shot. You slip up twice, you're out. And, you know, that's going to just amp up the drama, and especially when you have players like Steph Curry and LeBron going at each other in the West. And when you have, you know, Bradley Beal and Russell Westbrook going up against the Celtics in the East. So I think this is an absolute home run for the NBA. I think it will probably stick.
Yeah. You know, Howard, I can't fathom Adam Silver is not seven-year-old me seeing a bike for Christmas when he sees LeBron and Steph in the play-in tournament with everything kind of on the line between them and what their legacies have been. But that being said, what is the matchup Howard Beck sees now when you look at the postseason in the West? What's the matchup you're most intrigued by?
In the West?
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard right now because, you know, we don't have the full, you know, slate set yet, right?
Like, sure.
After the play-ins are done, we'll see who the seventh and eighth seeds are. You know, look, the answer is going to be, you know, the same almost throughout. If the Lakers win one of the play-in slots, the first thing is the Lakers are intriguing by being in the play-in. Then whoever they end up playing, assuming they win one of the seventh or eighth slots, whatever series they're in is going to be the most intriguing,
right?
And on until they either win a championship or lose, because they're the defending champs, because they still have LeBron and Anthony Davis, but because this has been the most, you know, bizarre season for them with those guys not playing. Like, no team has ever gone, because the play-in didn't exist before, no team's ever gone from play-in to champion. They could certainly be the first. And, you know, few teams have ever climbed from the lower half of the playoff bracket to even make the finals, much less win it all. And so, you know, that is going to be the most intriguing storyline in the West, regardless of what else happens. But, you know, as per usual, there's plenty of intrigue elsewhere.
Well, but let me ask you this then. Okay, because you're right. The play-in tournament could change a lot of things. You got a couple matchups that are absolutely going to happen. How many teams in the West, because I said this a couple weeks ago and got trashed by my co-host, how many teams in the West do you buy as legit title contenders?
Five.
Oh.
Yeah, both LA teams for sure. And, you know, with the Lakers, it's the big asterisk of, like, you know, if they're healthy, blah,
right,
blah, blah.
Right.
But if we assume health, they got to get their rhythm back. They got to figure some things out. They're not going to be as sharp as normal. But could the Lakers play their way into rhythm and make a run as long as they're healthy? Of course. Can the Clippers do it? Yes. I know people have doubts because of their flame out last year in the bubble, but the talent is there. The Suns and Jazz didn't finish 1-2 by accident. So, you know, the Suns going from lottery team to second seed in a year makes it hard to buy them as deep playoff contenders, because teams don't do that. And, you know, if you add, you know, LeBron James and Chris Bosh to the Miami Heat in 2010, then yes. But the Suns added a 36-year-old Chris Paul. They don't fit the prototype of a team that can go from lottery to title contender. But the record and the advanced stats suggest they're legitimate. So I don't think you can just wipe them off the slate and say no. Like, you know, they have to prove it, but is it plausible? Of course. The Jazz have been a playoff team for a few years already and just made the leap from good to great. Are they a plausible contender? Of course. The other one that people have dismissed, I think, too quickly is the Nuggets, because they lost Jamal Murray. Well, they've won, you know, whatever, 10 of 12 down the stretch, whatever it was without him, and Jokic is the MVP, and they still have plenty of supporting talent there. I mean, it's going to be a steeper climb without Jamal Murray for sure. But I don't, you know, in a year where the defending champs, the Lakers, are beat up and haven't played for a while together, I don't think you can say that any one of these teams is definitively better than the Nuggets, or a more plausible contender than the Nuggets. So yes, I think there are five.
Okay. Howard Beck is our guest, senior writer of Sports Illustrated. He's a co-host of the Crossover Podcast. Go give him a follow on Twitter at Howard Beck for all things NBA. That leads right into the next question. And that is the Portland and Denver series that we're going to get in that 3-6 matchup. But it's been a weird year here in Portland, Howard, where the emotional roller coaster that we've gone on to feeling great at the start of the year, and then guys get hurt, and then they come back, you're feeling good, and then they can't beat anybody good, and they suck for a while, and then you want to blow up the team, and now they're playing great basketball again going into the playoffs. It's been a very up and down year, but they get a win and they lock in that sixth seed. Your thoughts? I mean, you just mentioned you think Denver is a title contender this year. You didn't have Portland in that category, so I'd imagine you like Denver, but the matchup, how it plays out and what it means for Portland long-term, win or lose.
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be interesting. The Blazers at their best have been phenomenal. They've been entertaining as always. You know that Dame is going to bring it every night. You know that he can, you know, pull anything out in the fourth quarter, and that, you know, that it always makes them dangerous. Are the Blazers in a position to make a solid deep playoff run? I don't think so. And I think, you know, trying to knock out the Nuggets with, you know, the almost certain MVP in Jokic is a tall task to start this off. I'm obviously would lean Denver mm-hmm. on this, but you know, again, to contradict my previous thing about the Nuggets being a potential contender, mm-hmm. they're plausible, but they also are missing a key piece. So does that make them vulnerable? Maybe. The problem for the Blazers is they don't defend or very rarely, and the Nuggets are an offensive juggernaut at their best, and Jokic can pick you apart. And where that leads, you know, let's say that goes that way and it's a first round exit, which is the way most 3-6 matchups go. Six usually loses. I don't know what the consequences are at this stage. You know, there's certainly plenty of speculation around the league about Terry Stotts. You know, I've even heard people throw Neil O'Shea into that. But, you know, look, this is a gossipy league and it's a league of a lot of speculation. I don't like throwing those things around lightly. I don't know that there is anything to that or not. It is the natural thing that people gravitate toward when a team with a superstar, you know, falls short year after year. But there are circumstances, you know, and especially this year where they start off the season losing 3/5 of their starting lineup. I don't know that you can judge it that harshly. I do think, and I've probably been saying this for 3 or 4 straight years, including probably on your show, at some point you got to reevaluate whether the Lillard-McCollum right. backcourt is really the way to go.
Right. If 10 were to be stunned, one not surprised whatsoever, you have the Nuggets as a title contender within the Western Conference of one of the 5 teams. You seems like you're leaning the Nuggets in the series. Where would you be of the Blazers winning that series on the shock meter?
I'd be pretty surprised. And that's not a knock on the Blazers. It's just a reflection of the season they've had compared to the season the Nuggets have had. And, you know, it's not impossible. I wouldn't predict it.
Okay. Great stuff. Howard Beck, man. The playoffs beginning this week. I cannot wait. Play-in tournaments going on Tuesday, Wednesday, and then everybody's joining the party on Saturday and Sunday. Senior writer for Sports Illustrated, co-host of the Crossover Podcast, at Howard Beck on Twitter. Go give him a follow. It's going to be a busy couple of weeks. We'd love to catch up with you again here soon. Thanks so much for the time this morning, man. We appreciate it.
Anytime, fellas. Thank you.
There you go. Howard Beck of Sports Illustrated. So he's singing a different... There's your national take on the Denver Blazers series.
There's the national opinion of the Trailblazers and Nuggets.
I can't blame him. The Blazers have been up and down. They haven't been consistent. Denver, as you pointed out and he pointed out, they've been pretty good since Jamal Murray went down. I'd be curious to go look at the teams that they beat in that stretch, because I remember they had a pretty manageable schedule late in the season.
I had it up, and it was pretty... there were some pretty impressive games in that stretch. I can bring it up schedule-wise, but I looked at it earlier, and I was like, Oh,
they beat that team. Okay. So he's singing a different tune. And hey, Denver's got the MVP, so I can't blame him.
Memphis, Portland, Memphis a couple
good
times.
Wins, yeah.
The Clippers.
Okay, good win.
Barely lost to the Lakers.
Yeah. I remember that game.
The Brooklyn game was somewhat close. They actually were 21 in that game. They blew that lead. So, yeah, I mean, they got a couple games. They also have a lot of, you know, New Orleans, Toronto. They have a New York win that's pretty impressive. Sure. There's some good wins in there.
No doubt about it. Murray. No doubt about it. That's impressive. So some final thoughts on that. I also want to talk about another angle in the NBA playoffs, and that is what one team is going to do and what their star is not only saying, but what he did this year. And I might poo-poo it. We'll get to that coming up next on The Fan.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
Yeah, somebody texted in. I think the plan is great. Never would have followed OKC Clipper game last night otherwise. No doubt. It had a huge benefit on the final week. I mean, if you watch the Blazer game, you know they had the score tabs up at the top left the entire game. And so everybody wanted to follow along. Was Dallas winning? Were they losing? And they clearly weren't engaged early. You thought, okay, well, Dallas is going to lose. The Lakers were in kind of a back-and-forth game, and they ended up pulling away late. And then the Clippers were down big early. They came back and tied it, and they fell down again, and they came back and tied it. And you're kind of watching, like, this is wild. And if they would have won, they would have ended up the 3 seed, and that would have been your first round matchup. And the Blazers needed a win to avoid the play-in. Like, I know that some teams tanked over the Dallas losing on purpose, like whatever. Denver clearly didn't care. The Clippers, as we highlighted, they did not try to win against two crappy teams. But the play-in adding that level of intrigue was great for the NBA, and it went all the way down to game what usually would be 82, but 72 this year.
Well, and how many times do you think everybody was confused of what the situation was?
Oh, a million. I sent out a tweet, and I immediately forgot about the three-way tie scenario because I thought, okay, well, this is great that the Clippers are tanking. I love that because then Denver could end up the 3 seed. That's awesome. But then realizing that Dallas was tanking, which means I thought Portland could jump them and end up the 5 seed. But then I forgot about the three-way tie scenario where they don't get the advantage over Dallas when they and the Lakers, well, all three of them have the same record because Dallas won their division. It's right. A dumb thing to have to be a tiebreaker. There was a million different scenarios, and I'm just glad that they ended up getting the matchup that people wanted at the end of the day.
Well, I've been on this for a few weeks, and you know, I was a little skeptical of it when it originally was announced that they were thinking about doing a play-in tournament. And then, you know, the season goes on and you kind of start thinking, oh my gosh, you could have Steph Curry in this thing. And then the Lakers suffer their injuries. You go, can we have the Lakers fall all the way down? Turns out, yeah, because I think they were on the 2 seed when LeBron went down.
Yeah, they were way up there.
And they completely just fell flat to earth. And now look at them playing in the play-in tournament to get the 7 seed.
The ratings for that game are going to be awesome.
Well, they should be. I mean, if you can't get ratings for your play-in tournament, it's time to reevaluate a lot of things within your league.
Especially with Steph and LeBron involved in that game.
All we ask, what we love the most, I think, in sports is do or dies. And as much as I might hate the one-game playoff in Major League Baseball or... you know, the play-in tournament kind of does this to a certain extent. It's intrigue. It's drama. It's, hey, everything's kind of on the line one time the way that we get in football. Whereas these best of 7 sports, you have to let it play out. And most likely the better team is going to win the series.
Right.
You know, one little note on that, by the way, that I wanted to highlight because, you know, Howard Beck picking the Nuggets and liking the Nuggets. It's not a shocker. I think you're going to get a lot of this, right? Mm-hmm. And I think it's fair to question some things about the Blazers out loud throughout this week.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin O'Connor just wrote a piece about being blitzed. Nobody was blitzed in the NBA on picks more than Steph, Dame, and Bradley Beal. And famously, you remember the New Orleans Pelicans series when they lost 3-6 matchup and got swept in round one and nobody saw it coming.
Yeah, they blitzed the hell out of him.
They blitzed him. And when he threw the ball, nobody could buy a bucket. Aminu and Harkless, I think, shot combined like 29% from three in open looks. Like, they just couldn't buy a bucket. That's another part of this, too. This is where Norm Powell comes in handy, because now you have a third member of your starting lineup that if Dame gets blitzed, and you'd imagine, hey, if we're going to lose, let's maybe make CJ McCollum average almost 30. Let's see if Norm Powell can kill us. That's the way you go. Norm Powell's a wrinkle in this, too, where if Dame throws him the ball quick, you should in those situations be taking advantage and getting easier looks. Whereas in years past, Portland has struggled in those moments. So I thought it was interesting that Kevin O'Connor wrote an article about that. He's not a buyer in Portland, but he mentions Dame was blitzed as much as Steph and Bradley Beal, the three most blitzed players in the league. And that's another part of that series that's interesting.
No doubt. That was always the kryptonite. I remember there being articles about that when Dame was at the peak of his MVP rumors earlier in the season. Somebody, I can't remember who it was, but wrote an article basically saying, this is great, but we all know how the playoffs are going to go. Teams are going to blitz him and trap him. They're going to force the ball out of his hands and make anybody else beat him. Nobody in Portland has proven, at least at a consistent clip, that they can do that. I think the Norman Powell edition, that's where it was always an exciting one for me, just for that idea, a guy that could knock down shots and create his own shot, put the ball on the floor, he can get to the foul line. Like, he just brings a lot to the offense that a guy like Gary Trent Jr. didn't. And then I also think it again highlights the most important player of the series for Portland, and that's Nurkic. When you're blitzing him coming off the screen, can you dump it to Nurkic, and can he either find a way to score, whether it be a, you know, knocking down a 15-foot jump shot or taking it to the hoop and not floating up some soft layup, or can he, you know, get it off of that screen when Dame gets blitzed, and then when somebody rotates over to Nurkic, is he making the right pass to find the open guy? Like, he has always been the straw that stirs the drink in a terrible sports cliche for this offense, because he can set good screens, he can pass, he can score from time to time, and he keeps things moving and helps out Dame. So you want to throw two defenders at Dame, that's fine. At least if you're Portland at this point, you should have the ability and the capacity offensively to beat a team or make them pay. You want to double team Dame, that's fine. This isn't Al-Farouq Aminu knocking down open shots or relying on him. You have Norman Powell on the wing. Covington has been shooting the ball at a much better clip in the second half of the season. CJ, as we know, can get hot. So you have the weapons out there that you've always kind of wanted around Dame, and now it's up to them to actually go prove it.
Yeah, and if they do that, by the way, this is... It's kind of finally the series, I think, in the moment. This is where you're number two. Like, this is where the contract, this is where being paid the number two. There are a lot of times where I think the number two on this team kind of avoids or doesn't get the criticism that a superstar like Dame gets. And criticism is hard because in this city, nobody really criticizes Dame. It's always, you know, Stotts or Olshay or guys that are role players. No. In this series, this is where your number two has to be the guy. He has to be able to make the play, step up, give you buckets when you need them, be the creator if Dame is having two guys defend him. And that's, you know, yet another caveat of the series that I'll be looking forward to is if they're struggling and they fall behind in the series and it's largely pointed to the same thing we've seen time and time again, Dame's being doubled, they can't make a bucket.
Right.
The criticism is going to number three. Enough is enough. Like, he's the number two on this team and he largely doesn't get criticized. This is a series that if Denver is to play defensively that way,
yeah, you're going to get favorable looks.
You have to be able to create. And the roster, the way it is created, especially in that starting lineup, you've got three other dudes that can shoot the ball, and you've got a big man that seems to have found kind of a rhythm, consistency, and proper shape to contribute. There's no more excuses with this team if there's a double team on Dame.
Yeah, no doubt about it. We'll answer the poll question, by the way, at the end of the show. How you feeling about the series? People think the Blazers are going to win. I'm just curious how wide of a margin it's going to be.
Wait, Howard Beck said surprised Andy against the Nuggets as his five picks in the Western Conference.
He does. Disagree with him. So I wouldn't be surprised if Denver won, I guess, to his point. I would be surprised if they won a title without their second best player. That'd be a pretty remarkable run that Jokic would send them on. I got a couple lingering NBA thoughts we didn't get to there, including comments from a player and what that player accomplished this year. We got some NFL news or notes I'm going to get to. Also, a study that came out about how men and women feel about a certain topic that we need to talk about. Load of final hour. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fam.